Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakes Awville. We'll get back into the Caps at 8:20 with Alan May from NBC Sports Washington. Caps lost to Vegas last night, 3-2. They've lost 6 of 10. Haven't been playing good hockey, so we'll get to the bottom of that with Alan. But Jason mentioned a couple things that we wanted to touch upon, didn't get to the sports page. First of all, it was NBA All-Star Weekend, which was a lot about Kobe Bryant when I checked in, which was great. Tributes to Kobe. You had the, whatever they call the game, where it's like the rookies versus the second-year players. I think now they do the world versus United States.
First and second-year players.
Whatever. Yes. I didn't
pay the futures game or something.
Yeah, whatever they call it. I didn't pay any attention to that. I did pay a little attention to the three-point contest and the dunk contest. Didn't watch them live, watched the highlights, and then I wanted to watch more of it like on NBA TV the next day because of supposed controversy. Aaron Gordon's an unbelievable dunker. He just is.
He's a sick, sick leaper.
He did it a couple years ago.
He gets jobbed all the time.
I don't know if there's anybody in the world that can jump as high as him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I really don't. Maybe high jumpers. In the Olympics.
Your boy Connaughton did a whole white man can't jump tribute,
yeah,
which
was
fine.
Theme. It was fine.
But Aaron
Gordon.
He had
no shot. He's, I mean, he can jump. It's 44-inch vertical for a white guy is ridiculous for anybody.
I mean,
but he was the shortest guy.
Right. Dwight Howard brought back the cape and did a whole Kobe thing.
But it's more impressive when the shorties can get up, yes.
and And it's impressive.
Oh, believe
that,
me, he was jumping over guys.
Yeah.
It's impressive that Dwight Howard still has ups at his advanced age.
I'll always remember him as a wizard,
but
being terrible
Gordon,
as a wizard.
The two dunks that he had, I mean, the one over Taco Fall should have won the contest. And apparently they botched it. The judges had said they just wanted to have a tie. And I think two guys were supposed to give a 9. And they
gave a 10.
And then D. Wade was supposed to give a 10, allegedly. At least this is what a lot of people think. And then Wade thought that the other guy was supposed to give the 10. And so he gave a 9, and whoever else it was, Common or whoever these dumb judges were, gave a 3-9. So Aaron Gordon got jobbed again. He lost to Zach LaVine a few years ago.
So he's, he
had incredible dunks.
Believe the guy jumped over a guy who was 7'5".
Right.
I mean, that's absurd.
And his 360 dunk.
I mean, if you look at the still photos of when his. His head is, he's actually looking through the rim. His elbows are basically at the rim, the rim level. And you're right. He should have won based on that. Now, Jones Jr. is awesome, too. I mean, he's a sick leaper. But when Gordon jumped over Taco Fall, I would have said, hands down, contest over, give him the crown.
It never happens this way, but I saw some people, it might have just been a tweet that was saying, let's just bring these guys back, Jones and Gordon, and then add Ja Morant and Zion Williamson. That'd be a sick dunk contest.
It would be, but I don't think any of those guys can do what Gordon did. I really don't. I mean, maybe Zion, because we haven't really seen him in a dunk contest, but Gordon jumping over guys who are over 7 feet tall, how can that be matched?
But it's not like the other guy, Derrick Jones Jr., he jumped over two guys.
I know.
Now they weren't 7'4" or 7'5" like Taco Fall.
They're just ridiculous athletes.
And he did use a little leverage. It's not like he jumped over them clean.
All right. He pushed off a little bit, but still, you still have to have an absurd.
It's still an amazing athletic feat.
Yeah. Elevation you have to have, even if you use the body slightly, and I know he spreads the legs, but. I mean, he's looking at the rim.
I have the ultimate respect. I went to Wizards Media Days on several occasions and tried to dunk off a trampoline.
It's just ridiculous.
And fell several feet short. each time.
Right.
So these guys.
The trampoline is tricky. I couldn't get a dunk either.
I mean, Kevin Schaefer could do it. He could be like the Suns gorilla mascot.
I mean,
he's so good at it. I'm terrible.
What does Gordon do to win a dunk contest?
You know what? You know what he said? He's like, I don't think I can do it anymore. Why would I do it anymore? I come in here and I wow everybody I get whored all the time. So I'm not coming back. It's basically what he said.
Does he have to have a guy sit on Taco Fall's shoulders right. and then jump over him?
Right. I mean, what more can he humanly do?
I think you just do the same dunks and hope that the judges get it right for once.
Yeah, the judges are donks. It was Wade. It was Common. It was Scottie Pippen, Candace Parker, and it's the actor, the guy
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, Boseman. Those are the five donks.
Well, if they're not going to take it seriously and put actors in there or former teammates of guys, then why should anyone else take it seriously?
Well, they obviously
have a real
it.
Judging system if you're going to be that upset about it.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's a dunk contest.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't think it matters.
At the end of
much.
The day, Aaron Gordon goes home and he looks at his portfolio and says, "I'm making $20 million." So
no,
you know what?
Look,
my life's
at
pretty
the end
good.
Of the day, it probably doesn't bother him.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you're going to have a winner, it should be the guy who deserves it.
Oh, I agree.
But the amazing thing is, back in the day, like. I think J.R. Ryder won a dunk contest.
He did.
Simply because he did the through the legs.
Right.
That's so complex. Now they do like alley-oop through the legs.
Oh, the level of difficulty is skyrocketing.
They jump over somebody
right.
through the legs.
No, you're right. You're right. Look, if those guys were playing now, they'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah. And then the actual All-Star game, it had the Jason Elam ending, right?
Jason Elam.
And exactly. I heard it was well-received.
Well, I tried to watch the first couple of quarters.
Yeah, there's no defense played.
And there was no defense. In fact, there were 48 dunks in the first right. three quarters. All right, guys were just, they weren't playing any defense, throwing alley-oops. There was a lot of sloppy play.
Sounds kind of like a Wizards game.
Yeah,
48
exactly.
dunks in the game.
But then in the fourth quarter, since they had the Elam ending.
They actually tried.
There was only three dunks, and there was a bunch of fouls. And I actually enjoyed watching that because you could tell that they wanted to win.
And the Elam ending is... that they play till a specific number. There's no clock.
There was no clock, right. They added 24 to whatever the score was, and it was the first one to, what was the final score, 157, 155?
Yeah.
So I guess 157 was the number, and it was entertaining because you could tell these guys wanted to win the game. The first time I'd seen that. I usually don't watch the All-Star game, and I usually don't watch the dunk contest, but I just couldn't believe what I was seeing with Gordon. He was just ridiculous.
Meanwhile, he's just a meh as a pro. Yeah. Me to those athletic freaks.
The closest I came to watching the All-Star game was peering over the mountain of chips that the guy next to me had with about 20 left at MGM National Harbor, and he's watching it on his phone. But he had a Mount Everest chip stack, so it was hard to see what was happening on his phone. It was a joke.
By the way, Cakes had a decent chip stack. If you missed the story of Cakes... over the weekend playing poker, you can always use the rewind feature on the radio.com app. Download the app, select our station. You go back in time. We talked about that right around 6:45. All right, you wanted to talk XFL. You went to week one.
Went to week one. Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you watch week two?
Watched a little bit of just the DC Defenders game.
Right.
I saw Guardians.
Because I bet I took the Defenders.
Okay.
And I laid 7.5. And I took the under, I think it was under 46. Six and a half? It was in the mid-40s.
Such an easy under.
And I turned it on. It was 20 to nothing.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, end of the third or in the fourth. I said, fatty.
Big fat winner.
I think to answer your question about crowd, it was roughly around 15,000 fans.
Right, yeah. So I'm reading here on CBS Sports about the total attendance. Okay. So I guess in week one, it was about 18,000 people at Audi, and they announced about 15,300 for week two. All right. And someone's texting me. He says it was about half full, so he doesn't know if there was 15,000
right.
or not. Well, let's just go with 15,000. So a slight dip in the Defenders' attendance.
You would expect that.
But if you combined all four stadiums for week two, they rose 6,700 people. So I guess Seattle, who had their home opener.
Right.
They had 29,000 people in Seattle.
That is an impressive pop.
All right. So there's nothing going on in Seattle besides going to the Dragons game.
Right.
But the total attendance rose about 6,700 people. With the four games
overall.
Combined.
Drab, I will give your people of the Pacific Northwest credit. They do turn out for the sporting events. Now, maybe it was because the Sonics left, and they all of a sudden that was a wake-up call for that area.
But their soccer team crushes.
Kills.
12s, of course.
The stupid 12s. I mean, they fill that stadium. Props to your Pacific Northwesters there. drab T-shirt.
They like to get out of the house.
Apparently they do. Time. They like to get rained on.
All right, so here it was. So with the assist from the Dragons, 29,000. XFL attendance rose from week one, which combined for 69,000 in week one to, you know, call it 75 or 76,000 in week two.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure about the ratings. Do we have any ratings numbers, Drabby?
You're looking for the TV ratings?
Yeah, TV ratings. I didn't see any numbers on the TV.
I don't know. I mean,
yet.
They are showing, you know, they have a partnership with ABC, ESPN. They are showing highlights.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about Matt McGloin. I saw the highlights of him
What highlights?
Well,
no,
the highlights were him on the sideline talking to a fellow quarterback saying it was the worst game he's ever been a part of.
Right.
All right, well, hold on. He did say that, but he also did a interview with Diana Rossini at halftime. He was like 5 for 13 with a couple turnovers, and he got benched.
I think right? I think he'd pass for 32 yards.
32 yards passing, and I don't know if you have it. Do you have the interview with Diana Rossini? But he was very Rick, right? He was pissed off.
Yeah.
And then maybe we have the audio of him talking to the other quarterback on the sideline, where he said it was the worst game he's ever been a part of. But he was complaining about the game plan,
right?
But isn't it on him if he's the one throwing the interceptions?
He threw an awful pick.
I saw one of them, the highlight, where it's like, did he not see the safety?
By the way, I think your lock. Now, the spread's going to be big in week three. Just unload on the Houston Roughnecks against the Tampa Bay Vipers. Because Tampa has scored 12 points in 2 weeks, and they're going to get steamrolled in week three. That's pick of the week right
there. All right, so this is McGloin with Diana Rossini, correct? All right, let's hear it.
Matt, what does this team need to do on offense to get something going here?
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
Okay, what do you need to change about the game plan? What are you frustrated about?
There's just a lot going on right now. It's embarrassing for us here as an offense, so a lot of things we want to fix and correct.
Thanks.
Wow.
I talked to a head coach.
I think the best...
You know what they should change? They should have changed quarterbacks.
Yeah, they should have done that. My favorite takeaway, and I'm sure you guys probably saw this, from the Defenders game over the weekend, was the gigantic beer snake that the fans constructed at Audi Field. I guess the fans at Audi Field drank 1,000 beers on site.
Nice.
And then they just stacked all the cups, and they went up... The cups went for like... I don't know, AWOD, you may have seen it. The cups probably stretched for 40 feet. I mean, it was like a beer cup python that was going up the stands.
Wow.
And
that's
then
impressive.
They carried it out of the stadium.
And they recycled it. It was the coolest thing ever. And that's why Pep Hamilton, the head coach, is calling them the 12-pack.
The 12-pack. Oh, yeah. Very nice. I like it. That did catch my eye from the Defenders game. Made me chuckle.
Did you see Anthony Johnson's sideline report?
I did not.
With Diana? Here.
Yeah, let's hear that.
All right. I don't have a problem with nobody reclining AC, but I'm a little bit too tall for y'all to be leaning back on my knee. So keep your children and yourself to yourself. You hear me? Just I'm against reclining on the airplane. So yeah, that's it right there.
That's my guy. Message to America.
You better believe it.
That's a man who has his finger on the pulse of what America is talking about.
So funny.
Good question by Diana Rossini. No, recline or no recline? No,
I think he just came out and said it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He wasn't even prompting.
Yeah, she was asking him about football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's pretty funny. And Anthony Johnson was the guy who just got traded to D.C. because he was upset. Was he with New York?
I haven't followed XFL trades.
Yeah, he was
in deep.
He was pissed off that Pepper Johnson got fired. I don't know if he was defensive coordinator.
Right.
And he complained, so... What they do? They trade him to D.C.
Right.
That day.
I need to see the line on the Tampa Bay-Houston game. It's got to be like 13.5. It might even be like 15.5 when it comes out later this week.
Well, you've got some extra money to Jeremy sprinkle around.
Yes, I do. That is true.
Landry Jones made his debut. He had a knee injury, so he missed the first game. But he came out, and I believe they beat L.A., but he threw two picks. See, the problem is with these XFL teams, you need really good quarterback play.
Right.
All right. And there's a couple decent quarterbacks. I mean, Cardale's playing well. PJ Walker apparently has got like 6 touchdowns in 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Landry Jones was thought to be that one guy because he had NFL experience, but McGloin's terrible. I mean, most of these guys are terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're a good quarterback, you're in the league.
Sure. Trust me, in the boardrooms in the XFL, the suits are saying, We need to find some better quarterbacks. They know what the problem is. Yeah. Now it's just a matter of trying to find guys that are better than Matt McGloin.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into the Caps. We talked about them earlier in the show, took some calls on whether you're panicking about the Capitals' recent slump. They've lost 6-10. They lost 2 out of 3 on the road, lost to Vegas yesterday. But if you take it back all the way to December, they're 11-11 in their last 22. We'll get to the bottom of it with Alan May, who covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us next here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I can still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now to talk some puck. Caps analyst Alan May, who's driven by Dulles Motor Cars in beautiful downtown Leesburg, and DullesMotorCars.com. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So, Alan, we took some calls earlier on where Caps fans were, whether they were worried at all. Some may say, well, still 23 games left, somewhat worried, hitting the panic button. Where does Alan May stand with this Caps team? If you go back 22 games, 11-11 since December 23rd. Did we lose Alan altogether?
I may have.
Trying to use a fancy app, trying to have a clear reception.
You know, we're going to effort to try to reacquire Alan May. I believe he's back with us.
Mr. May?
You can keep believing.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot going on the other end there.
Don't stop believing. Well,
that's right. A smash from back in the day. Yeah, hopefully the Caps can right the ship. They've got a few days off. Thursday, Montreal comes in to Capital One Arena. Hopefully Ovi rekindles the scoring touch. He's been held pointless in 6 of his last 7 games. February's not been kind to him.
We put out a Twitter poll, and 80%... fall in either the somewhat worried or panic button time.
Okay.
24% panic button. 20% not worried
high.
At all.
I mean, it's not even the end of February. I think people are panicking a little bit too early.
Okay.
Well, that's my opinion.
The vast majority were somewhat worried about the Caps. All right. Is Alan back with us?
Yeah, I never left, guys. I was there the whole time. I just couldn't say anything. Yeah.
Well, right. I know Drab's working on some sort of fancy app. I mean, we'll hook it up, but we got you on now. Where do you stand with this Caps team right now?
Well, they're certainly in a lull right now. Over the last 22 games, they're 11-11. Their goals against average is horrific right now from where it was. And for people that are complaining about the system, it's the same system that had them leading the NHL the entire time. But there's been a drop-off, and I think a large part of it, it has to do with there's certain players that are not playing well right now. I think the doldrums of the season a little bit. The defensive system needs more physical commitment from the players and blocking shots, playing more physical. I think the forwards have gotten away from their game as far as their defensive responsibilities and defensive duties, and it's starting to eat up the defense. When you're starting to see the defenders in the low lights, and we're always looking at the last player in a scene, and everyone's pointing the finger at that person. Say it's John Carlson is chasing after a forward, or you go down to Dmitry Orlov, Kampney, Gudas, Jensen, what have you, Siegenthaler, and you're looking at the last guy, and everyone's always blaming that player. Well, There's just too much space between the forwards and the D right now, and that's significant. And they've got to fix that, and certainly right now is the best time to have it happen. You know, for a fan base that hates when they win the President's Trophy, you know, all of a sudden they've got a little adversity and everyone's turning their backs on them again. It's kind of disheartening at times. It's like the loyalty of a political party.
Alan, I'm looking at the NBC Sports Washington graphic of the tale of two seasons before and after December 23rd. What is the problem on the penalty kill percentage rank? Before Christmas, they were at second. They've fallen to 16th now. How can you diagnose the problem there?
Well, it's really not that many goals, and that one's kind of somewhat misleading because the penalty kill is still really good. When you look at it, you know, anytime Carl Hagelin goes to the penalty box, it seems like the other team scores. He's their best penalty killer. I wouldn't worry too much about that, and it's just one of those things. Just for a little while, they get those bad games that they got stung in last week, the seven-goal game against Philadelphia. That damaged them. You know, all of a sudden everyone's complaining about too many penalties. Well, every team in the league seems like they're taking too many penalties right now. And the teams that play so safe, they're not going to do anything anyways. So you have to be a little bit aggressive. I think it's just a really bad week or so with the penalty kill where it got scored on a few times. You look at some of the teams that you're playing. The Colorado Avalanche, pretty awesome. Philadelphia Flyers stung them for a few. And it's hard to recover from that. Kind of like Braden Holtby, those couple of games he had at the start of the year against Colorado and Nashville, all of a sudden his goals against just stung really bad. His save percentage, and it takes a long time to build your way back out of it just by having one or two bad games like that.
Joined by Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. You mentioned commitment, blocking shots, aggressiveness. They definitely had some commitment yesterday in terms of hitting. 47 hits against Vegas. Can we expect more of that?
Well, you get 47 hits, it means you don't ever have the puck. And, you want a team to be physical. I've said this over the years. You know, when the Caps have tried to crush the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs and just go all-out decimate, and it does not work for them. It leaves holes in their game. It leaves odd man rushes. So you have to wonder about that. So did they play great yesterday? No. Did they have a lot of hits? They certainly did. So you look at that, too many hits means you don't have the puck enough. And I think they've got to start doing things better in the area of positioning all over the ice. It's kind of you got to sweep this road trip, you know, under the rug, but they've got to learn from it, the things that they did not do well. They played 35 good minutes in Colorado. You thought that would have been the impetus to get them going and showing how hard you had to work defensively. You know, they had a great forecheck that game. But they had even more speed when they were coming back defensively, the forwards, that is, and it helped out their defensemen immensely. So it's just one of those things during the season. I think it's a really good thing that this is happening and it's being highlighted right now, that they have to improve in certain areas. And it's going to be the kick in the ass they need to get them going in the right direction.
Is one of those areas they need to improve at the faceoff dot?
Well, we've been talking about that for a few years. And they're really struggling in that area right now. And the last couple of games at home, you look at the game against Philadelphia, game against the Islanders, they were getting crushed in there. So it's just, you got to get back to the drawing board. They're just in a bad funk right now. And, you know, we've seen teams go out and trade for first-round draft picks for a good faceoff guy and get bumped out in the first round. So that it's not the end of the world to not be winning all the faceoffs, but they do have to be better.
All right, so you mentioned all these flaws. Are these fixable? Or, I mean, we're 60 games in, Alan. I mean, or is this the team we're going to have? Are these the issues they're going to have going to the playoffs?
Well, you know, it depends how you want to look at it. If you're looking for good, you can find it. If you're looking for bad, you can find it. I look at a team that led the National Hockey League almost all season long. They're in a little bit of a funk. I think Ovechkin scored them out of their problems for a while. And he was disguising. You look at that game against the LA Kings. Braden Holtby kept them in it, and then Obi scores a hat trick in the last 6 minutes of the game, and it seemed like that was happening over the course of a week. So this is on the team, all the players, that they've got to get their game in order. I still think, you know, with a week left here before the trade deadline, it also highlights and spotlights things for Brian McClellan and shows him this team has to be somewhat better. They're going to have to make some additions, and if they want to go far in the playoffs, you're seeing a team like Tampa loaded up with a really good player from the New Jersey Devils, actually their best player this season. You're seeing other teams make you know, trades for quality players that are going to help them. And I'm a big believer in, and if you have a hole, you've got to fix it. Right now they have a couple of holes.
Do you think that they're in position to do that cap-wise?
You know what? You never have to worry about the money. There's okay. always ways for these guys to figure it out.
Okay.
Sometimes it costs you a higher draft pick to get someone to take some shave off of a guy's salary. So if a guy's making $4 million, you've only got $3 million of space. You up the draft pick by, you go from a fourth to a third to a second to a first, depending on who it is, to bring in that player to fit under your cap. And there's so many other ways. Sending players down, hiding them. No one likes to do that. And you do the daily send down a call up thing. The teams do not like to do that, but they'll do it if they have to.
Is Pittsburgh a better team than the Caps right now?
Certainly. They're rolling right now, and they've been rolling for about, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months. They're on top of their game, and they filled a hole that they felt they had. They got rid of a player they didn't like, and they brought in a player they've wanted for a while, and Jason Zucker last week, and he's fit in seamlessly with the Sidney Crosby. So right now, they're playing a better brand of hockey than the Caps, and you know that's good news for the Caps because it always puts them on high alert that they've got to be better. It seems like when they do play the Penguins, it brings out the best in everyone. And if you have holes in your game, the Pittsburgh Penguins will probably expose them more than any team in the league because I think they play so fast and so physical. They play a hard game both ways. They work just as hard on defense as they do on offense. So if you're not playing well, if you're not going to be committed, they'll spank you.
And Alan, the path to the top of the Metro is really opening up for them with the Caps in their funk. You mentioned that. And the Islanders have lost three, and the Blue Jackets were on fire for a while, but they've dropped their last five as well.
Well, I never count the Blue Jackets out. They keep having injury after injury after injury. I've never seen anything like this in my entire career as a player or now as an analyst. And the Blue Jackets, it does not matter who's in their lineup, but you look at the 4-2-4, so they had points in 8 of the 10 games in those last 10. So that's still a good sign. They lost their best defenseman last week. The Islanders, you know, they're a team that does not have a lot of goal-scoring power up front. They got to be defensively perfect. They play not to lose, in my opinion. They've got to start adding things. But they've got a lot of money. They can go out and add any player in the league that they want. Depends how much they want to give up in a trade. So you can't count the Islanders out, at least for the first few rounds. But right now, I don't think they got enough to go very far.
All right, so let's talk about this week. Thursday, Montreal at home. All right, Montreal, I believe, plays the Red Wings tonight. Then Saturday.
Winner.
Saturday should be a winner. Saturday, Sunday, back-to-backers. At Jersey, and then they come down here and play the Pens, a national TV game at noon on Sunday. It's a big week, especially since you're playing Pittsburgh. So what are your thoughts about this schedule this week?
Well, Montreal's a team the Caps love to play. Ovechkin loves to play against those guys. They keep getting injured. They're up and down all season long. They just got their best defenseman back. They're going to have to put everything they have into that game to play. You know, a hard brand of hockey to beat them because Montreal's fast and they're physical and they've got a coach that harps on them about their defensive play. So, you know what, grit that one out, take the New Jersey Devils seriously, and then it does not matter whether you play back-to-back-to-back-to-back mm-hmm. when you're playing the Penguins. The Caps will be revved up and ready to go in that one.
And how many of those games this week will Holpe play in, do you think?
I would say he's got to play in two of them. Samsonov, the last couple of games, hadn't been too sharp, but you know, what started to happen to him is a little bit of what was happening to Holpe. Just way too many high-danger chances, and not just because they're from those areas, because of the quality in those high-danger areas. And he got eaten up a little bit, got dinged up, so you just want to get him back into the right frame of mind. So I would expect him probably get the Jersey game, and Holpe gets the Pittsburgh game on the weekend.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, exactly. So Montreal will be Holpe. They'll give him the day off against Jersey, and then he'll play in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, definitely. I would think that's the way it goes.
Pittsburgh game, right?
All right, Alan.
All right, it's a big week, man. Big week for
the
Caps.
Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Alan. It's Alan May from NBC Sports Washington.
And he's, of course, driven by Dulles Motor Cars, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia, and Subaru. Experience the Dulles difference in beautiful downtown Leesburg and DullesMotorCars.com. Yeah, they need to take advantage of the Jersey game because Jersey's dead last.
Okay.
They're terrible. I think they're already trading away parts.
Okay.
The
Montreal, Pittsburgh game is massive. Just
yeah,
massive.
Pittsburgh's massive if you want to win the Metro.
Right.
If you don't care about winning the Metro,
and Samsonov will probably play in the Jersey game.
Yeah, probably.
I would think.
Play him there, and then you have a rest at Holtby to face the Penguins the next day.
All right, rough stretch. Lose 4 out of 5. You know, 6 out of 8. But now you come back. You play 2 out of 3 at home, including Pittsburgh on Sunday. Massive game.
I believe Montreal's dropped 4 straight. Now they should win against Detroit.
They should beat Detroit tonight.
Yeah.
See, this is why I said they should have started the playoffs in December.
Right.
You guys are mocking me. It's like they're playing great hockey.
Yes.
Just start the playoffs already.
Right.
Because this is the pitfalls of an 82-game regular season. Yeah, hopefully they can turn it around and have a better final quarter than they had in the third quarter of the season.
That would be nice.
But based on those trades, and I know nothing about the players, I'm just going to trust Alan May. But if Alan says that these teams are getting better with the trades they're making, all right, well, the Caps got to make some sort of a move.
I would guess McClellan's going to tweak the roster somehow. I think the trade deadline's the 24th. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's less than a week away.
Got a few days.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Nick Swardson at MGM National Harbor.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that in the 9 o'clock hour, so keep listening for your chance to win.
He does a lot of Adam Sandler movies. That's where I've seen him. He's kind of a wacky guy in a lot of the Sandler movies.
Yes, that is correct.
That's all I really know about him.
Yeah. You know what? Nice segue, JP. We're going to do the EP, speaking of movies.
Nice.
It's not a Monday. It's a Tuesday after a holiday weekend. Now, Valdez, if the Yes No Men were approached about Sonic the Hedgehog, I think initially I'd be a no, especially if it was a big, fat, bloated budget. I'm not sure what the budget is for this installment of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Remember, Kevin said they went back and put another $5 million into it. They just kept throwing money at a problem.
Well, apparently it worked because it came in by a country mile, to use an old term, at number one at the box office. $58 million over the weekend.
Seems pretty good.
I'm guessing that's a three-day take because it's February 14th through the 16th. So $58 million for Sonic the Hedgehog, I think that has to be considered a smash, right?
And it's Jim Carrey, but he's just the voice?
No. Jim Carrey is the villain.
Okay.
And the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog, I believe, is voiced by James Marsden.
Okay.
I think that's who plays
Sonic. Oh, I thought Jim Carrey was the voice of Sonic.
He is not. He's the villain. He's Sonic's nemesis, whoever that is. I don't know his name.
Robotnik.
His name's Robotnik.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Or Eggman.
Okay, if you say so.
I wasn't Sonic the Hedgehog player.
I was a Sonic player, but I don't really remember that much about the game. The only thing I remember is he had a sidekick whose name was what, Valdez?
Tails.
Tails, correct.
You remember Knuckles, too?
I don't remember
Knuckles. Knuckles was the red one.
I don't remember Knuckles. I have a little bit of a file on Tails, zero on Knuckles.
Why do I feel like Sonic was like Pac-Man, but it probably wasn't? What did Sonic have to do?
Didn't he
what
have,
was the point of the
did
game?
He had to rings. He had to collect rings. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit like Mario. Jump up and...
I think I was... When was Sonic the Hedgehog big? I might have been a little too old to be playing Sonic like, the Hedgehog like when I was playing
it. Mid-90s?
So I was at...
You're
I was
in like 20s.
I was like at Toys R Us.
I remember it being on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, Sega Genesis.
You probably sold a lot of them.
Oh, probably sold so many. So many Sonic the Hedgehog games.
I don't think I ever had a Sega Genesis.
You didn't?
No.
Well, hold on. What was your college experience like? That was like... the video game platform to have during your college years.
I don't think I had one. I would play maybe my, you know, people in the hallway used to play like the big game back then was Blades of Steel. Was that on Sega Genesis?
Probably like NHL, like NHL 90 or 91, whatever.
I remember playing like the hockey games.
Sure.
Like, there was a goofy pool.
We played that every day.
Every day. Like if you went through college.
We're unstoppable.
If you went through college when we did in the late 80s into the early 90s and you didn't waste a lot of time drinking beer and playing video games with your friends.
You weren't having any fun.
You were doing college all wrong.
If you were at the library studying instead of sitting at home playing Sega Genesis, you were a loser.
Here's what we did at the row home on Burke Avenue in Towson. We drank a lot of cheap beer. Mm-hmm. We skipped a lot of classes. We played a lot of Sega Genesis, NHL like 92 or 91. And what else did we do?
Smoked weed.
That was kind of after my weed phase.
You probably still dabbled.
What else did we do? You know, that was a lot. Oh, listen, a lot of
you know what else you did?
Pearl Jam Alive, because that's when that
you
album
know what else
came
you
out.
Did? Didn't bang girls.
Yeah, so I had.
Well, some of your roommates did.
Yeah, yeah, they did. I didn't. So I had so much time to do all those other activities that I just mentioned.
I don't think I owned a game system for most of my 20s. I feel like when we started the Junkies at night, we used to play. A lot of like Madden back then.
Right. Or like Joe Montana's football.
Was that Xbox? Like in the late 90s.
No. I think it was still a Sega Genesis.
So then I guess I did have a Sega Genesis.
You sleep a little bit on how big Sega Genesis was. It was pretty big.
Okay.
Because you grew
up.
But
I didn't have one. I didn't have a game system during my law school years. I know that. I didn't have one in Philly.
Well, you should be. I mean, you're in law school. Like, you should be doing.
I wasn't really doing that much studying, to be quite honest. But it just wasn't like what I did as a pastime.
Right. Just wasted so many hours.
I never played Sonic.
Wasted so many hours playing on that Sega Genesis. So, big weekend for Sonic the Hedgehog. Rounding out the top five. Birds of Prey, the Harley Quinn movie, made another $17 million. Fantasy Island made $12.3 million. I mean, that's just, a reboot of the TV series.
It's a horror version.
Okay.
But it's getting crushed by critics.
Oh, really?
It's weird. I saw the trailer and it actually intrigued me.
8%.
Wow. That's historically
that's
bad.
Really low.
It's in the running for a Razzie already.
Wow, that's bad. Rounding out your top fives, The Photograph. I don't know anything about that. Bad Boys for Life made another $11.4 million. That's at $181 million so far.
Are people interested in The Way Back? This is the new Ben Affleck movie where he plays a basketball coach.
Looks a little cheesy.
It looks weird, doesn't it?
It looks strange. He's an alcoholic basketball. Is a high school basketball coach?
Yeah.
I wonder if it looks interesting.
What's the early numbers? Do you have early rotten numbers?
Not out yet.
Okay.
It comes out March 6th, so I got a couple weeks.
Gotcha. Some disturbing news from Hollywood over the weekend. Drew Carey's ex-fiancée died on Saturday after a fall from a third-story balcony at her home. A more recent boyfriend is currently in police custody.
Oh, he pushed her.
Price is Right tapings for the week have been canceled. Her name was Amy Harwick, and I guess she was a well-known therapist in the Hollywood community. She was found unresponsive on the ground beneath a third-story balcony of her Hollywood Hills home. On Saturday, she died at the hospital. So that's some tragic news.
So the guy pushed her off the balcony.
That's apparently what it looks like at this point.
Wow. By the way, I remember at the time when Drew Carey became the host of The Price is Right, I found that to be odd.
Yeah.
Because back then he was a comedian and he had his own show on ABC.
Yeah.
He's been going at it for years. Just probably just clocking.
You know
check
what? You would too. If you see,
I know.
He's, he, I, Drab t-shirt. You can weigh in on this. I believe he is one of the principal owners of the Seattle Sounders MLS team.
He is.
Yeah. I mean, he's high dollar. He's got super deep pockets. Good for him. And you know what? You want your game show host to be kind of funny. You don't want your game show host to be a dud.
Has there been no update on who's going to be the Trebek successor?
I have not heard. I've not heard a peep on that. Couldn't tell you.
Who carries net worth $190
million? Just killing it.
$190 million.
I never got into that show. It had what, Mimi? Like, yeah. It was basically like an office show.
Well, I can't remember the name of the show that he
was on. I think
it was
the Drew Carey show.
It was the Drew Carey show. Okay.
I feel like it was set in whatever office he was in. And
never watched it.
In Cleveland.
Yeah. Never did a thing for me. But, hey, good for him.
Yeah.
He has pivoted well.
And I'm sure he still does some comedy gigs every now and then.
I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
He's vigorously shaking his head.
I bet he does, you know, like some of those guys.
He might do a one-off here and there, but if you're clocking those sorts of checks, you don't have to travel to Lake Tahoe for a weekend. Why would you? Unless you really love just doing stand-up. It's in your blood and you can't get away from it. I mean, maybe. I
can't believe he's made $200 million.
He's made $200 million. That's crazy.
Incredible.
I mean, he's got an event scheduled for 2020. I bet he shows up to different casinos and locations.
Sure.
Makes, you know, six figures for sure.
Makes mega bank.
In a night.
Yep.
And then he rolls.
Yeah, good for him. I was a little surprised this morning by the level of fervor that one Matt Valdez had for The Bachelor. I did not know that he was such a big Bachelor mark when we were filling up our coffee mugs earlier today in the Intercom break room.
I actually stayed up and watched it all last night.
You did? You stayed up for the hometown dates? Yeah, that's where we are at this point?
Yeah, it's starting to get hot and heavy.
Yes. I had to punch out after he visited, I can't remember her name, but the girl who's from Auburn. And her dad is an assistant coach on
Jason,
the Auburn staff.
You should see
Let me guess, hot blonde?
No,
she's a brunette.
You should see this chick.
I'm sure she's great.
She's a show.
I'm sure she is.
But you know what else she is? A virgin. And she had to broach that with Peter yesterday on the show.
No, she hasn't mentioned it to him yet.
Oh, she hasn't. Okay, yeah. So you're ahead of me on this, Valdez.
She's gonna break it down to him during the fantasy suites. So,
which are upcoming. And and what was the bomb that she dropped on him regarding
She's gonna give him an ultimatum saying I'm out of this competition if you bang any other chick in the fantasy suites.
Right. So then Valdez and I had a discussion that's probably I basically said, so he's going to go to the fantasy suite with Victoria. He's going to bang her. He's going to go to the fantasy suite with Hannah Ann. He's going to bang her. And then he's going to go with the virgin and something else is going to happen.
A technical virgin.
That's not going to happen. But another act will happen.
Heavy petting.
Yeah, basically.
What you're saying is...
That's a gross way to put it, but yes.
All right.
Yes.
Get to third base.
Pretty much is the way it's going to work out.
I didn't remember the base.
So I'm going to have to catch up when I get home today, Valdez. I saw three of the four hometowns. I need to see the fourth.
Yeah, text me your thoughts.
I will. I will let you know. And sad news for all you headbangers out there. Ozzy Osbourne has canceled his 2020 North American tour to undergo medical treatments. Very bad news for you, Jason, if you're planning on seeing him.
I was.
Ozzy, by the way, is 71 years old. Like, and he's got Parkinson's, and he's got a bunch of other stuff he's dealing with. Ozzy, you're on the Mount Rushmore of heavy metal.
You don't need
to tour anymore. Mm. It's okay not to tour. Okay, people have seen you. They don't need to see you at 71 or 72.
I'm curious, you're Mount Rushmore, so Metallica. You're just going to put the whole band.
I mean, if we're doing a quick Mount Rushmore of heavy metal.
Two more.
Well, then you put Ozzy / Black Sabbath, one. Okay. You take Metallica, two. You probably throw an Iron Maiden up there, three. And then you have one spot left. Who would it be? I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit longer.
I know you like to rap and roll.
No, I love rap, but they don't
know
the Mount Rushmore.
I put Stephen Piercy on it just because I like that song.
You like Round and Round?
Oh, so good.
Of course.
It'll never get old.
Of course it's so good. It's a classic. It's called a classic, Jason.
He's on my Mount Rushmore.
All right, that's your entertainment page. I hope you were entertained.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into the Houston Astros drama. Look, the Astros are actually playing the Nationals today. Are you disturbed that this is overtaking baseball? That, you know, Rizzo talked about the Nationals not getting any shine for winning the World Series, and all yep. reporters are right next door covering the Astros. What's your take on this whole mess? Should the players be suspended? That's what some guys are now saying.
Yep.
800-636-1067.
I also want to play some of the audio of some of these star players are now coming out
right.
and just hammering Manfred and the Astros players for what's gone down. Guys like Mike Trout, guys like Justin Turner, they're starting to talk because everyone's in spring training, right? And that's all the media is talking about. So all these guys are getting peppered with questions. And 99% of the league is anti-Astro. This team is going to go down as one of the most hated, if not the most hated team in our time.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. We'll come back, take your calls next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.